Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 124. Whose agenda are we following?
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello there. I wonder what your week has been like. I know that some of you are trying to stay warm against the ice and the snow outside, while others are looking for shade away from the midday sun. I hope that you are finding comfort in whatever phase you are in, and that you're finding yourself much more secure, even though that you may be still in lockdowns, some unknown quantities out there, but inside you're feeling stronger. Because the more you follow your own truth, you follow your own agenda, then you will feel more confident, less helpless. And that's why I decided to talk about agendas today. Today is a new moon in Aquarius, and there are six other planets and asteroids in Aquarius. And all of those Aquarian energies are around innovative ideas, self-responsibility, uniqueness, revolution, social change, social idealism, community living, equality, all aspects of life that we all believe in, I know. But squaring those wonderful planets, our dear old Uranus in Taurus and Mars in Taurus and Lilith in Taurus. And Taurus isn't the fastest of energies, can be a little stubborn, as some of you Taurians know. So Taurus is an earth sign. It will do things in its own pace, doesn't rush things. And so we have this sort of holding back that's happening, maybe causing some of you frustration or irritation. When's something going to happen? And the square that's happening on February the 17th and again in June and December is really saying things are going to take shape in a certain way, but they need to also have a strong foundation. So Saturn is very much about foundations. Uranus is about sudden change. So they're somewhat contradictory, but they understand each other. So that when we plant a seed in the earth, the seed doesn't immediately send a shoot out into the sky. It develops roots, and it develops roots into Mother Earth, so that it can be nurtured. And it can also connect to the mycelia that flows through the earth, connecting to other plants, other trees. But most importantly, it also sends its roots down into what I call the serpent grid or the dragon grid, the blueprint of all creation that exists within the earth. And so when those roots go down into the earth, it's seeking out the blueprint of its existence. What is its perfect form? So that when it draws the nourishment up through its roots, it's not only bringing nourishment, physical nourishment, but also the nourishment of its essence, who I am to become. And we could call this its agenda, its plan, its blueprint. And as long as that blueprint flows through it, as long as nothing stops it drawing that essence up through its roots into its beingness, it will be a beautiful plant at the end, where it will bloom and shine and everything that we see in plants that we love in our gardens. And we are like that seed. In those first few years of our life, we send roots into the earth. Our parents help us to do that so that we too can draw up the energy into our beingness of who we are choosing to be this life. What is the creative energy that will flow through us to create our experiences, our stories, the events that we're going to experience in our life. And everything goes well as long as we have that deep connection, that rootedness that I spoke about last time, that we hold our truth in our heart, we hold our vision clear, everything will work beautifully. But we don't. Because as a plant can be inspired to want to be straight, have a straight stem, there are winds, there's rain, there's storm, there's everything that can happen, earthquakes, that will disrupt the natural growth of that plant. And we are going through some of those disruptions at this time, especially the emotional ones. We're being knocked from side to side. So we're being made to feel shameful and untrustworthy and not safe and insecure and anxious and depressed. Woo! Everything's happening. And it's like being in a hurricane and a typhoon and a tornado and an earthquake all at the same time. Yes? So digging ourselves deeper into the earth is always a good thing, as I suggest. But what happens is that it's as if our vision gets clouded. We're not able to see or hold on to that vision for ourselves. What was it I was here to do? What did I want to do in my life? And when we lose track of ourselves, we stop searching for that light that exists within us and that we wish to shine out into the world. As I've mentioned before, we're not looking to become the divine light. We are the divine light. We are spirit within this beautiful form that is called human. Human meaning a creative being. So we didn't make a mistake by being human. We came into being human because humans have a free will, a creativity, and an emotionality that drives that creativity, unlike many, many other human forms. And so we said, yes, let me go and be this one form, and I will hold true to my own free will, my own choices, and I will express the divine light out into the world through my creation, expressing of myself. And then you came down to earth and everything got a little tough. And as I say, we started to get influenced, not just by our own agenda, but by the agendas of others. And then, as I've described before, we get caught up in what people have told us we need to do. Be in service for other people. Don't be selfish. Give to others before you give to yourself. Don't think of yourself too much. You need to do what is right for the common good. You need to think of other people, whatever it is. All of those things may be fine, but not if we get lost along the way. And as you know, when I developed breast cancer nearly 10 years ago, I learned not only that I needed to love myself more, more importantly, I'd lost the self that needed loving. I'd lost my agenda. I've moved away from the blueprint of my beingness. And in the meditation that I did at that time, I saw myself out on a limb, out on a cord, away from my mothership, my heart. And I was out there doing space walking, helping everybody else out in the world, but I couldn't return to my heart. I needed to return. And it was only through the cancer that I clawed myself back to my own heart, my own self, and said, what do I need? What is my direction? Not everybody else's. Am I resonating with some of you? How many of you also have got lost in other people's agendas, trying to take responsibility for other people's agendas, trying to take responsibility for other people's emotions that are part of that agenda, and then forgetting ourselves? How many times do you describe to someone about someone else's needs before you talk about your own? How many of us feel guilty to say, oh, this is what I need. Actually, I don't care what you need. This is what I need. And yes, you might say to me, oh, yes, but Christine, it's my karma. It's my past lives. It's my story. It's all excuses. And if I know nothing else about Taurus, Taurus is really good about making excuses. No disrespect, Taurus, because Taurus rules the throat chakra, and the throat chakra also makes excuses. And those excuses are also validated by the outside world. Of course you need to think of others, not yourself. And so at this moment, as we go through this so-called pandemic, and I say that because of what's going on in the world, it's also our own agendas have been literally torn up. Ripped up. Where you thought you were going to go in 2020, 2021, rip up. What you think you thought you were going to do in 5 years, ripped aside. No, that's not the agenda. You're not listening. We have a different agenda. Okay, tell me the new agenda. Well, first of all, you'll stay in your homes, and then you'll wear masks, and then you'll take the vaccine, and then you'll make sure you're away from everybody else. And you'll say, okay, now if I had just told you that, you might have said, well, why am I doing that? Oh, let's add some emotions, a little bit more salt and pepper. Oh, you need to be more, you need to not be so selfish. You need to think of other people. A little bit of fear. You could die if you're not careful from this. And there we have this perfect soup of a pandemic. Am I saying that people are not dying? Nope. People are dying. People are getting sick. But people have been getting sick and dying for thousands of years at a similar rate. But suddenly it's in our faces. And suddenly the laws that we're being told to keep are not part of our own agenda. Now, you may be saying, oh, you're very disheartening. But I'm not. I'm trying to say is I need us to recognize that things that are happening in the world are not always in the best of our interests. Now, some of you have looked at things like Event 201 or some of the other events that were carried out long before the pandemic came along. And there was a process. There was a process to say, this is what we want to do. How can we make humanity or the masses follow what we want? So if you think of it, I just have to laugh. If I said in 2018, okay, we're going to lock everybody down. We're going to not send children to school. We're going to take away your jobs. We're going to make sure that you never communicate with your loved ones or your friends, your family or friends. And that's just going to be easy. If you imagine someone saying that to you in 2018, are you okay with, you know, just not going to work, not going to school, not seeing anybody you love, staying inside and losing your job? Is that okay with you? We'd all said, that's crazy. And then I said, oh, now what we'd like to do is to take your DNA. Is that okay? Well, people fought not to have their DNA taken. Now, hey, let's go and take your DNA. Let's do the PCR test. Just a little bit of your DNA. You imagine, it's almost like so many people, millions of people have given up their DNA, which 2018 they would never have done. And then we're going to test it in a test that was never designed to be able to quantitatively understand how severe a virus was affecting someone or whether or not it was infectious at all. We're going to do a test at a cycle rate that everybody knows is inaccurate. But hey, don't ask questions, follow the agenda. So we know the cycle rate of the PCR test over 30 is not accurate. But hey, most of it's happening at 38, 40. What does it matter? Don't get so caught up in details, Christine. 39, 40 is very close to 30. What's your problem? Stop asking questions. And why are you so bothered that I'm calling them cases when you would only call them tests? Hey, cases, tests, all about the same thing, isn't it? That's what's happening to us. There is an agenda that we are following. And every time we say, could you explain why you're doing this particular test for one question and why you're doing it in this particular way and why are you using those cycles? We're told misinformation. Don't ask. And why are you taking my DNA? And could you explain what's going to happen to that DNA that you're taking in your PCR test? Are you using it? Is it going into any data file? Stop asking questions. And then, of course, we could go into the whole vaccine situation, which we won't go into again, but there's so little data, so little understanding. Or if we do ask questions, we're told you're not being trustworthy, you're not being the generous one. If you really cared for people, you'd go and have this done or that done. Don't you see the people who are dying? And all of that is probably true. I'm again saying, yes, people are dying. But what has that got to do with the underlying agenda? What agenda, whose agenda are we following? And we know that from Event 201, etc., one of the prime parts of that schedule, that agenda, was let's look at how do we stop misinformation? How do we shut down people having the ability to talk to each other? That's happened. How do we distrust each other? Now, I'm not just wanting to talk about COVID. I'm wanting to put out an idea that the larger vision of the Aquarian energy is wonderful from my point of view, but it's also an agenda. What is the bigger picture we're following? Whose agenda is activating us all? Whose agenda are we following? What is the outcome that these agendas hope for? Are you clear about that? I'm certainly not. I've got some ideas. But if I'm not even going to look on the bigger scale, let me come back to just me and my life. What is my agenda? When I'm working with someone and they say, oh, this person is taking my energy, stealing my energy, or I can't, you know, it's their problem. That's what I often hear. And I say, well, what's your agenda? What's your role in this relationship? It's never a one-way street. So if someone's taking your energy or taking up your time, what part of you is allowing that to happen? What part of your plan is saying, this is okay, even though it's destroying me, even though it's not helping me? And then you might say, oh, well, it's my past life. Oh, it's my karma. No, that's just another story. What part of you believes that this is okay to happen? And if it is okay for you to do it, absolutely fine. So let's say someone's vampiring my energy. I want to be able to say, I'm really happy for you to vampire my energy. It's part of my agenda. But I can't complain when it's happening unless I'm willing to say, this is my choice. Now, you may say, okay, there's situations where you say, oh, I can't make such a choice. It's part of my framework, my family. I don't have that choice. Well, we all have choice to a certain degree. And even if I can just say, I choose to let this situation continue, or I choose at this moment, I don't have any other choice. But again, that's my choice. That might sound a little convoluted. But the fact is, when we say, I don't know why this is happening, this has got nothing to do with me, it's not my fault, it's because of this. When we do that, we're disempowering ourselves over and over and over again. So the fact that if we know that we have an agenda, it may well be to be subservient to someone. It may well be to allow ourselves to be in service to other people, or to be dutiful, or to take responsibility. But we need to own that agenda. That makes sense, and not complain about it. And at the same time, remember we talked about being psychic, the ability to pull back our psychic powers. In other words, not just to read what someone else needs me to become, or read someone else's emotions and try and please them. When I can pull back my emotions and say, okay, I'm reading what you're wanting me to do. That's your agenda. But now I'm going to make a choice what I wish to do. Being able to make that separation is a very powerful gift. And if you start to feel guilty, like, oh, what will they think? Then you're understanding that your agenda in a relationship is to get them to like you, or to get them not to leave you, etc. So then you're understanding that deeper agenda. Aha, if I do this, then this is what I'm hoping to get a result of. That makes sense? So when we own our agenda, it doesn't mean you have to let it go, but at least you can now say, is this the way I wish to grow as a beautiful plant? Am I willing to give this much to a relationship in order to grow? Or would there be an easier way of doing it? And that's the direction I want us to be going in. Not so much about always having to pull away from everything, but at least to see our part in someone else's agenda. Or does this marry with what I want, with the seeds, my seeds blueprint? Am I living this? There's no shame, no right and wrong, just taking responsibility for our agenda, taking responsibility for our choices, and saying, yes, this is mine, empowering ourselves with that. And I was listening to someone talk about the changes that are happening. There are lots of talks about ascension and multidimensionality, which I love, and the idea that we're moving into the fifth dimension. But I heard another way, which I had listened to before, about rather than talking it about we're in the third dimension, moving fourth, fifth, but the third density, the fourth density, the fifth density, each of those densities becoming lighter and lighter. And I like that idea because I really believe this is about bringing light into our body. You remember that divine light I talk about? So that when I bring that divine light into my body, I clear out everything else that holds that light back. And I bring light into all the caves in my beingness, all the places where I'm hidden, all the places where I'm not being seen. So that the idea of being enlightening or enlightening ourselves is one of not so much about a spiritual learning. It's about how conscious am I of who I am? Conscious being the light. What is the light of consciousness come into my being? All right. So our main aim is to become more transparent, less veiled, less masked. And one of the ways of doing that is to be honest about our agendas so that we're not doing underhanded activities, that we're being really honest on the relationship. This is what I want, and I'm asking, what do you want, and where do we meet in the middle? And this fourth density aligns very much with what I call the world of the fifth sun, which is what I learned about in 2012, which was where there were no veils. We are more transparent, we are clairvoyant, and that we have nothing to hide, and therefore can become more telepathic. Now you imagine that everybody you meet, you can read immediately. Now many of you do. But imagine that you can see right through all the agendas. And again, it's not saying get rid of that agenda, but that you are calling that person out on their agenda and saying, is this the agenda you have? And if they start to bluster and fuster, then you know that you're probably onto something. So let me just give you two examples before I complete on this. I remember years ago being in a group, and there was a group leader, and it was a lady. And I watched energetically as she manipulated people with her emotionality, her raising people up, oh, you're so wonderful, her criticism of other people, oh, you're so terrible, her elitism, oh, we're all in it together. It was such a masterful magician's act. And I watched her do that, this sort of charming, like a snake charmer. And everybody fell under this charm. And I have to say, I was not necessarily bothered by this. I was actually an assistant in her class rather than a participant. But I was amazed and impressed by what she did. And as is my way, I spoke to her telepathically. And this is something I'm able to do. And I said, I see what you're doing. I have no problem with it. They're choosing to be taken into your spell. But just to know that I see what you're doing. We, of course, didn't necessarily go on to work together because even though I said nothing physically, openly, she knew I knew. And that is true clairvoyance, my friends. It's part of the psychic act. It isn't about judgment, blame. I didn't care what she was doing. All I wanted her to know, first of all, is that I could see what she was doing. And secondly, I was suggesting she might like to share with her class what she was doing. She was, in fact, stealing energy, vampiring. But at that level, those poor individuals could not see beyond that and follow their own agenda. She had them under their spell, her spell. And you understand what I'm saying there. That ability to stand clear and be able to be very clear about what you see and how you're not judging, you're just saying, know that I see you. This is the clairvoyant way that I would love you to be. Imagine that everybody you met, you could either see into them or you could touch them and see them in terms of you may need a physical touch to them. But it was never about judgment. It was, I see you. Please be clear about your agenda. And to me, this is our future, where instead of being allowed to make someone shut us down because we speak the truth, it's about let's all be open, let's be transparent. This is the only way together we're going to move into this fourth dimension. And it's in that fourth dimension, or that fourth density, that we will find that we are no longer affected by the denser energies that live within our earth, that really feed on our fear and our shame and our guilt. Because when I say, this is my agenda, I'm not hiding anything. And I'm not holding something down from fear, then I don't feed anybody else with that fear. Does that make sense? So my light gets stronger, not because I'm necessarily meditating more, but because I say, I am be willing to be seen and known for who I am. My last little remembrance was a guy who was very good at vampiring my energy. And I knew he was doing this, and I may have mentioned this before, but I always see when I think someone's vampiring my energy, I was starting to feel drained, tired, exhausted. He was gaslighting me a little bit. I imagined I was pulling up a drawbridge on an old castle. I don't know why, but that's the Brit in me. And all of a sudden, as I closed the drawbridge over all my chakras, he changed immediately. He started spitting at me, being angry with me. He threw pans around the kitchen, threw rice on the floor. And then he said, and now I'm going to leave. And that's when you know a vampire is around, because they either get very angry and spit at you, or they slither away. I would like us all to find that place within us where we can be calm enough to say, I have no agenda in hurting you. And my only agenda is to be as transparent with you as you will be with me. Let us now see you for who you are. And when we do that, we are saying, if you are trying to steal my energy by bringing about fear, by spitting at me, or fear because you're going to abandon me, it's not going to work. I'm in control of my own life. You cannot cause me to live or die. But my agenda is true to me. Please be true with your agenda, please. And I would love us to be able to do that to everybody, especially our leaders. Our leaders in many forms, many institutions. It's not about a judgment day. It's about an awakening day. It's about a day of authenticity and transparency. So holding that true to your hearts, I wish you all the very best. Because I know I'm speaking with those of you who already live on that lighter density and who are strong enough with your own inner light to say, we demand a movement towards social justice. It isn't just about money and jobs, but it's about a justice that comes from the heart, a sense of self-responsibility, accountability, respect, and honor for all. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the HeartSpeak podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. you share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of HeartSpeak.